Isaiah knew about hope even back in his day. I'll be reading from Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There is hope. I know we look around us today and we think, what in the world is going on? We see so many terrible things, and it would be easy for us to lose hope. But there is hope as long as we believe in Jesus and we believe that he is, in fact, coming again. There's a funny little story about a little girl. She was going to participate in their Christmas play. And she was just so excited about the part that she was going to play. And her mother thought, well, this has got to be one of the main characters, but her little girl would not tell her what part she was going to be playing. Well, in great anticipation, the night of the play finally came, and all the parents were there and the children, and they got ready to do the play, and one by one they took their places, and this little girl, she sat down in the back of the stage. The teacher began to read, "A long time ago, Mary and Joseph had a baby, and they named him Jesus. And when Jesus was born, a bright star appeared over the stable." And that was her cue, and she lifted up this bright aluminum star. And as the teacher read about the shepherds coming to see the Holy One, she jiggled the star to show the shepherds where to come. And then this teacher got to the wise men coming, she stepped in front of the wise men and led them to where Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were. And the play was over. They had refreshments. And on the way home, she's still all excited. And she told her mom, she says, "I had the main part." And her mom is like, "Okay, how did you have the main part?" She said, "Well, it's because I showed everybody how to find Jesus." And she did. And we know that Jesus is out there. Actually, Jesus is right here with us. And we know how to find Jesus. And it is up to us to give the world hope and help them to find Jesus. We have hope that one day we won't hear of wars and rumors of wars. We won't hear about ISIS and terrorism and all the terrible things that we see happening around us every day. Isaiah believed that at some point when Jesus comes again to judge the nations, all the instruments of war would be turned into instruments of peace. He thoroughly believed that. And I believe that. There will come a time when that will happen. We will all live at peace with one another. In Philippians 2, 10 and 11, it says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ is our hope for now and for the future. One of the greatest pieces that we think about at this time of year is Handel's Messiah. But did you know that Handel, after a brief moment of popularity, kind of fell off and became rather poor? And then on top of that, he got a cerebral hemorrhage and was impaired on one side. You wouldn't think that to hear Handel's Messiah. He was pretty depressed. He had lost all hope. Until one day, a man named Charles Jennings approached him and asked him if he would compose the score for this work that he was about to do. This ignited a spark in Handel, and he just really dove into this, and he created Handel's Messiah, the score for that, in 24 days. And that was a really short amount of time for something as great as Handel's Messiah. And it has become an amazing piece of work. We all know it. We can kind of hear it in our heads. It's a great testament to hope. Even when we are down as low as we think we can get, there is hope for us. Because Jesus is out there, and Jesus is going to lift us up and bring us back to that. It's such an interesting thing to just think about, that Jesus would come and save us. And Advent, besides today being Hope Sunday, is a celebration of hope. That's what Advent is all about. It's about the hope and the peace and the love and the joy. It's about knowing He's going to come again. It's about remembering what He did for us. And it's about knowing He's going to do that again for us. And we can celebrate that. And we do in so many ways. We celebrate through the Advent wreath. We celebrate through our Christmas trees that are shining in gold and silver, and our angels on the top of our trees. And we think about Christmas, and we think about the decorations on the tree. And that reminds us of that hope in Jesus Christ. I know that society would like us to believe that Christmas is about all the neat packages under the tree. It's about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. But that's not what it's about. It's about the happiness and joy that you see in a child's face. It's about the happiness and joy you see in each other as you sit down together for a Christmas meal. It's about knowing Jesus is with you, and knowing that He is going to stay with you, and that you are going to be happily ever after. There is a happily ever after out there, whether you want to believe it or not, because we have Christian hope. And hope is one of those things, life is one of those things that you can't really face alone. It's not something that you can do alone. It's something that we learn as we grow and we go through our Christian journey. Not just chronologically grow, but grow as Christians. When we're young, we wonder sometimes why all the wrong in the world. And when we're old, we even kind of get even more concerned about the wrongs in the world, the terrorism and the children that are starving around the world, and the people that need our help. And I'll say it again, I'm proud of this church because we have stepped up and we have helped the community through so many different things, so many different missions. And we have given others hope because of that. And there comes a time in life when we start dealing with things like job loss or failed marriages or contemplating our own mortality as we grow older, and we start to think about all those things, and we realize that we are finite creatures. We are born, we live our lives, and we are all going to die one day. But that's part of God's plan. It's not something to be upset about. It's not something to be concerned about, because that is that process which we go through in our journey and learn how to be better people, how to be better Christians. So when Jesus does come back on that great day, we will be ready for Him. We will be ready to serve with Him, be with Him, love one another. There is that kind of hope out there. We need to understand that evil is not in control. I know we look around us and we see all the things that are happening. We see how churches seem to be failing. The universal church seems to be failing. Society seems to go up against us. Government seems to go up against us. And it seems like evil is winning. But I can tell you that evil is not winning. That the things that we are seeing today are meant to happen. I've said it before. The Bible says these things must happen before Jesus comes again. So things, the way they are for a reason. And unfortunately, things are probably going to get a lot worse before He comes. But we as Christians don't need to worry about that. Because we as Christians know that there is a light at the end of that troubled time. Jesus' light that breaks the darkness, that tears apart the evil that we see around us. There's so many good things to look forward to. Isaiah tells us that it's that point where Jesus is going to judge us as a people. He's going to judge us as nations. He is going to set things right. He's going to put the world back in order. And we know, because the Bible tells us in so many different ways, not just Isaiah, not just the other Old Testament prophets, but Matthew 24, Mark 13, the book of Revelation, they all tell us about that hope, that time when He is going to come back and gather His people. St. Paul writes, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed, in Romans 13, 11. There are so many places in the Bible that give us hope, even in the Old Testament. And so many people look at the Old Testament and they think, well, that's all about punishment and war and all these terrible things. No, it's not. The Old Testament is about all those times when God forgave them people and gave them hope and put them back on the right track. That's what the Old Testament's about. The Old Testament is about preparing the Israelites and preparing us for the coming of Jesus, the first time and the second time that's coming up. There is hope out there against the brutality that we see around the world, against the poverty and the starvation, all those things that are bad. There is hope against those things. Those things will all be washed away when Jesus returns. Back in the abolitionist days, when they were trying to get rid of slavery, Frederick Douglass was fighting for this. He was spearheading a lot of this. The government wasn't helping him. Courts weren't doing much either. They were in court one day and he's fighting this and starting to lose hope. He's thinking, this is not going to work. And there was a elderly black woman sitting in the front row. Her name was Sojourner Truth. About the time Frederick Douglass was ready to give up, she stood up and she looked at him and looked at the others in the courtroom and said, listen, Frederick, is God dead? That statement was a lightning flash for Frederick Douglass. He realized that God is not dead. That Our hope is not dead. That even though things might look bleak right now, there is hope. There are good things ahead of us. If you've seen the movie God Is Not Dead, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have. Everything that happens in that movie happens for a reason. God has put all those pieces in the right place at the right time. That's hope. That's knowing that God is in control, not evil. God is in control. Even in our inner cities, our gang-infested, drug-induced inner cities, there is hope. God is with those people. You may not think so, but God is with those people. We just have to deal with the fact that things are the way they are for a reason. We don't have to understand it. It's not meant for us to understand why things are the way they are. But God is fully in control. There's a young lady named Joni Erickson Tada. Some of you may know the name. In the summer of 1967, she graduated from a Baltimore high school as the most athletic girl. She had great hope for the future. She knew she was going places. She broke her neck in a diving accident and became paralyzed. And it caused her to sink into depression. It would anybody. But as she got to thinking about all this and started leaning on her Christian faith, she realized that there are still things that she could do. And she wound up, in spite of this disability, becoming a successful commercial artist, a best-selling author, and the host of her own radio show. Joni was a person who saw Christ and had hope. She matured through that and gained wisdom from Christ. She wrote a book called A Step Further. And in the book it says, if God's mind was small enough for me to understand, He wouldn't be God. Think about that. That makes sense. If we understood what God did, He wouldn't be God. And she goes on and says, sometimes I can't stand being in a wheelchair, but there God's grace takes over. Even in my handicap, God has a plan and a purpose for my life. God began His earthly life in a stinky stable. He got angry. He was lonely. He went without a place to call His own. He was abandoned by His closest friends. He wept real tears. This is a God I can trust. I know my tears count with Him. He sees our tears. He sees our adversities. He sees our inadequacies. He sees who we are. Better than anybody, better than ourselves. He knows who we are. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Dr. Leslie Weatherward talks about, in a book, Transforming Fellowship, about a very difficult meeting that they'd been in. And they'd gotten angry at somebody in the meeting. And when they left, they were pretty perplexed over that. They didn't understand why it was such a cruel world and why things weren't going the way they should. He tried to pray about the matter, but then he got to thinking to himself, I don't really want to turn that over to God. That'd be kind of silly. How many times have you felt like that? Something happens in your life and you think, I don't want to bother God with that. That's a mistake. God should be the first person you bother with a problem. He wants to hear those problems. Yeah, He already knows about it, but He wants to hear from you anyway. He wants to communicate with you. Pray about that matter. So he said, I completely relaxed, tried to push every thought from his mind, And as he sought to relax, he felt deep within himself a vague longing, a longing for the coming of one he called simply the friend who understands, even in the time of anger, when we are not ourselves. And if you really think about your Christianity and you really relax about how things are, you will find that same feeling. If you're going into surgery, if you're going to face some devastating situation, if you know that people are praying for you, you have this sense of peace and hope about you. You're not scared of it because you've got no reason to be, because you can feel the hugs of all those people praying for you. You can feel the hug of Christ because all those people have asked Him to be with you. And you experience peace. You experience hope. And when you get that feeling, you know that is the only explanation for how you're feeling. Nothing else could cause that. I mean, think about it. If you were facing some kind of major surgery, shouldn't you be scared to death that you might not come out of it? But when you know people are praying for you, and you know God is on your side, and you know God is directing the hands and eyes of the physician, you've got nothing to worry about. And you feel that in your heart. And you have great hope. God's greatest gift to man is being our friend. I've said that many times. God wants to be your best friend. God wants you to talk to Him like a friend, even if that means getting a little angry with Him sometimes. He understands. Just like a friend understands, we get angry. It's a part of us. God wants that kind of relationship with you where you are comfortable enough to argue with Him, to express the fact that I don't understand this, God, to get angry sometimes. He understands. He wants to be your friend. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you peace and joy. He wants to express love to you. Isaiah looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. I don't think he fully understood what he was prophesying about, but he knew something great was going to happen. He had great hope for the future, something that he knew he would probably never see. But he had great hope for that. And he expresses that hope to us. He expresses that God is alive. God is with us. God provides for us. God protects us. All you have to do is believe that. Believe it. And when you reach that end of your rope, don't just tie a knot in it. God will pull you up with it. Because God wants you to feel comfortable in your life. He wants you to have that peace, that light in the darkness. And if you have that kind of faith and you have that kind of inspiration like Handel, you know that great things are going to happen. And just like from Handel's Messiah, he says, "And he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings, Lord of lords." He will always be there, now and forevermore. Amen.